This episode of Current Geek brought to you by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and searching for the right payments API, look no further than Braintree with the V.0 SDK. With one simple integration, your customers get every way to pay. To learn more and to try out the sandbox, go to braintreepayments.com/currentgeek.
I have
Current Geek!
Current Geek!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Current Geek. This is Current Geek, episode 59, the weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All-Stars, geeks of the world and you, to keep you current on all things that matter most. I'm Scott Johnson. He's Tom Merritt.
Hi, I'm Tom Merritt, and this is Current Greek, where we discuss the proposal for the Greek debt restructuring and Germany's opposition to it.
How come my ATM won't give me any cash, won't give me any euro dollars anymore?
Well, yeah, you can't get any euros from your Athenis Bank ATM. And we'll talk all about that with our guest today. Will there be a Grexit? Find out.
Oh, is that what they're calling it, a Grexit? Because yeah. I really don't like that. That's a terrible, terrible
You don't like name. That one?
No.
I've been using that for a long time.
All right.
It's years old.
Good job. Hey, we have guests. We always have guests here on our Friday edition of Current Geek. It's the only edition. There is no other day edition. Our guest today, let's start with the returning guest, Mr. Justin Robert Young. You know him, you love him. Justin, hi.
Oh, hi, everybody. How are you doing?
Doing great. I see your beard is in full bloom. I can't wait to see it in a couple of weeks from now.
Are you guys doing Current Geek at Nerdtacular?
We are indeed. Yeah, if you're not otherwise tied up, we may have you come up and bug us during that time. So we'll
feel
see.
Like
we're doing it.
Is it on? I feel like there's literally going to be like no time to do anything but be on stage at Nerdtacular, and I'm so happy. No idea how happy it makes me.
I know you like that, so it's going to be that kind of thing for roughly 2.5 days, and I'm very excited to see you guys there. Of course. Our other guest is also coming. He was there last year. He's coming again. I don't want to say former pro wrestler because I feel like that's sad to say because I really, really liked when he was like full bloom wrestler. It's Joey Image on the phone. Hi, Joey.
Good morning, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
How are you? You see, you had your last match. You doing all right? You holding up?
I did, yeah. I actually, this is the third podcast I've done this week, third night in a row. Yeah. Talking about it, so it's been super emotional.
Yeah,
ever since that night, Jerry can tell you about it. But yeah, it was super emotional. I'm doing all right. I'm not going to call myself former either. I'm still a wrestler. I've been around 15 years. I was trained. I'm still in the business, so I'm just not physically in ring getting beat up. So I'm still around.
So you can pick up a chair anytime and throw it at a dude, right? It's not a problem.
Correct. Or I could just throw the dude.
Well, it's good to have you here. It's good to have Justin here. Let's do a show, and let's start with the top stuff.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
Tom, break it down.
So San Diego Comic-Con is a little convention where people get together and trade comics, and sometimes movie announcements happen there because, you know, people read comics like movies. And I was talking before the show, I was going to ask people, like, what are the trailers that you've enjoyed, that you've seen come out this week? And then Joey Image came with, in the course of our conversation, a little heat toward the new Ghostbusters. Star Fury Zeta on our subreddit, currentgeek.reddit.com, pointed out a photo of the new Ghostbusters in uniform, linked on NeoGAF. Everybody's talking about how Kate McKinnon looks like the cartoon version of Egon in there. But Joey, what is your feeling on the new Ghostbusters?
It hurts my childhood. First of all, one thing that annoys me is if you go to the IMDb page for it, it says the plot is as of yet unknown. The plot is in the title, okay? Mm. It doesn't need to be unknown.
So they're gonna be busting ghosts, and from what I can tell from that photo,
I'm gonna guess, yeah.
From what I
would
can
imagine,
tell,
it will make them feel good.
It might.
The busting.
They ain't afraid of no ghosts.
The photo makes it look like, so I could be wrong here, but it looks like Melissa McCarthy is the Ray character. I'm guessing what's her name's Peter. We all know who's playing. What's his name? Can't think of anyone's name. Yeah. So it does. I am basing this purely on a quick viewing of that photo, but it does appear that they're kind of going for that. I'm hearing this a lot. Like they're taking my childhood, or they're ruining my childhood, or they're taking this thing that I loved and redoing it. And I don't know. I'm more of the camp that says, well, let's see how it goes.
That's a dumb thing to say and think, Joey. Because how does it affect the original thing? You want to know what ruined your childhood? Ghostbusters 2. That's what ruined your childhood.
And Godfather 3, but that's another story for another day.
Sure. But Justin makes a good point. The original thing stays. I want this to feel like a wrestling match, by the way. This is why this is good. Disagreement is good on this podcast. But why can't it be that the original Ghostbusters was good, 2 was kind of garbage, we've waited forever for a third one, it never happened with the original cast, here's a new idea, here's a fresh take, a whole new generation can enjoy this in possibly a new way. I don't see how it's an affront to me or you.
To put this in terms that Jury would understand, yourself and Tom, I'm not sure, but I know Jury would understand this, nobody wanted to see the second Undertaker. They brought him in. It was awful. They killed him off. He came back as Brian Lee, and that's it.
Well,
should be the only one.
It could be awful. See, this is
I
what
want to see Ernie Hudson. I don't want to see this.
Here's the thing.
Or whatever the hell she is.
Yeah.
And it's funny to compare, like, you know, that, you know, to use that wrestling analogy, right? In that, like, the Undertaker is a dude, right? But yet Bill Murray is not his character in Ghostbusters, and neither is Dan Aykroyd. Simply that they've done a million different things. The Ghostbusters lore can be something else, and they're not going to be. I mean, like, would it be better for you if it were a bunch of dudes and they were playing those roles? I think it's actually now that it's a wider universal spectrum where there's these other people that are going to be in this universe where ghosts exist and they are indeed busted.
I think it would be
Ghostbusters. Then that's rad.
I think it would be funnier if they were playing, like, Bill Murray playing that role, not playing just the character.
Oh, yeah. So wait, you want, like, these characters, you want these people doing impressions of Bill Murray
that's
and
exactly
Dan Aykroyd.
Exactly, being, like, fake Razor and Diesel, though. That's like...
Nobody wanted them either.
No, but that's the thing. It's like, so you're saying you want them to exactly be those characters as opposed to different characters that also live in that world.
Because I feel like that would be more truer to the original. And I feel like the original is the only one that should stand.
Wow. All right.
Hollywood's remade 4,000 and, you know, every single movie that was successful back when I was 10 or 12 or 15 or whatever. So this doesn't come as a surprise that it's being done. I don't know. Maybe I hate women. That's not true. But I was making an excuse for someone. I don't know.
I was making the argument before somebody else did.
No, I think this, you know what? You know what? Hold on. Joey makes a good point. Now, I think it's important to bring it up here. There is a bit of fear put into people. There are some people I know. I won't give names because I'm part of the problem, but they're afraid to say they don't like the new Ghostbusters because they don't want to be perceived as somebody who's upset about the fact that it's women, that their bigger issue is that it's a movie they loved as a child is being remade. And I think that's a little weird too, that people are feeling this weird pressure to accept it based purely on the standards of which, of, you know, that we're all celebrating these days, that women are able to play these roles. Well, and we should be excited about it.
Yeah, the woman thing I brought up is just a joke, but it's really the fact that was something I loved when I was a kid. And I feel like now, like, kids these days, teenagers or whatever, these days are going to see that and think that that's the original movie and the entire legacy is going to have been shat on.
But isn't that okay, though? Like, if it's their own movie and they're cool with
it. They need Ernie Hudson. They don't need this woman. Leslie
Jones
we always do this when something we grew up with comes back after a long absence, and I'm trying to think of good examples, but there are definitely examples. The Twilight Zone came back in the 80s. A lot of kids liked it, and old people were like, it's nothing like the original. There's always that feeling that it can never be as good, and I would say sometimes it won't be, sometimes it will be. Jury's still out for me on this one. I like all of these actors a lot.
I think I will still see it.
Jury's in. Jury says that every Paul Feig directed and written movie starring a lot of these same actors is really good. Spy, I haven't seen it yet, but is apparently really good. Bridesmaids was really good. He works well with them. This is a ripe franchise for it. And the fact of the matter is that everybody in this movie wants to be doing this movie on a level that the original cast didn't want to do Ghostbusters 2 and so didn't want to do Ghostbusters 3 that it never really happened. I think what we're going to get is a very passionate, awesome version of a Ghostbusters movie. And I'm super pumped about it. And in terms of things coming back, look, the Jurassic World by the end of its run might be either the third or the second highest grossing movie of all time by the time it's done in its run. Like, people want to see it, and I'm one of them.
Yeah.
Because I'm a movie lover, I'll definitely at least give this one chance. But I'm not a big Melissa McCarthy fan to begin with, so it's already got a negative. I loved Identity Theft. I'm just not a big fan of hers.
Well, see, there you go. That's a taste issue, right? And if all of a sudden you're off to a false start, if you're like, well, one of these people I know is
yeah,
not...
Yeah, I'm correct. I'm already coming into it with a defeatist attitude. I understand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, and that makes sense to me.
Well, and you're honest about it, and I like that. I admire that. But I do...
My vision is a bit skewed at times.
We also don't know how much of a quote-unquote remake this is. It does seem to be one. As opposed to, say, you know, a new Star Wars movie isn't the same as remaking A New Hope or something.
To Melissa McCarthy's credit, I'm sure she's not a big Joey Image fan.
Yeah, well, she's so, okay with that. Wrestling in general, she hates it. Anyway.
Has she said that?
Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
Oh, man.
Not trying to stoke your fire any further than we need to.
I'm about to Google, like, her interview where she talked about that randomly.
All right, well, let's move to a less controversial topic, Reddit. Coder JMC submitted the details that last week, Reddit let go Victoria Taylor. She's the admin who worked closely with the mods of the Ask Me Anything forum. The forum shut down while they decided what they were going to do because it was a surprise to them. Then a lot of other subreddits started to shut down and go private in protest. Then the Ask Me Anything, the IAMA subreddit came back, and they said that they had decided not to take any offered admin support, but instead just try to go on their own independently with their subreddit. Then co-founder Alexis Ohanian and interim CEO Ellen Powell apologized for all the confusion. And today, mere hours before we started recording the show, Ellen Powell, the interim CEO, resigned, and they have named co-founder Steve Huffman as their CEO for now.
Didn't I hear some talk that Kevin Rose was going back to Dig again or something? I don't know. I'm not saying this has anything.
I've not heard that. Did you hear that? Is that true?
I saw some Instagram photo of him
he's
saying
going to New York.
He said it's good to be
start
home.
A venture thing, but I have heard nothing about.
Yeah,
Kevin
no,
Rose
he's doing watches now. Rose, right?
All right. I don't know. There was something where he was back at the Dig offices and he put something on Instagram saying it's good to be home. Cool new ideas happening. Something, something, something. So
that is a lot different than Kevin Rose announcing he is going back to be CEO of Dig. That right. is, Kevin Rose dropped by and said, ah, this is the thing I started. It's cool to see it.
I'm
now.
Just kicking a little yeah. dirt on the already dirty.
That's just called lying, not kicking dirt.
Oh, yeah, is that what that is? All right.
That's just really confusing lying.
Sure, I guess so. But anyway, yeah, Reddit. It's a little chaos over there. What are you going to do? It's its own country, basically. I feel like every time we hear about something crazy happening on Reddit, to me, it's just another social experiment they can study 10 years from now, and I feel like I have zero control over it or any kind of anything with it. So anyone else have thoughts on the whole Reddit kerfuffle?
I do.
All right.
It seems like there are two distinct issues with the Reddit thing that people seem to be conflating into one, and specifically as it results to Ellen Powell and the leadership at Reddit before her and as we will see after her. Number one, you have the discussion about the civility of dialogue in Reddit and Reddit's own conscience in understanding where they want to draw the line of what should be allowed and what shouldn't be allowed in their private little discussion hall. That is something that Ellen Powell very much put her name on. That is something that I think could be fairly attributed. She would consider to be fairly attributed to her legacy on what they've enforced in terms of their terms of service on what they aren't and are going to allow. And then there is a space and a separate issue about how crappy Reddit from the home office has been to their moderators, this coming from the moderators and by Reddit's own admission as they have dealt with the fallout of this particular thing. The Victoria Taylor firing seems to be, by any and all public accounts, the straw that broke the camel's back of a lot of moderators saying, hey, listen, she wasn't just somebody that helped with AMAs. She was very often the only person with an @reddit.com mailing address that would get back to us when we needed things to happen. So to sever that lifeline, especially as coldly as they did, felt like a betrayal. And I feel like we're seeing the synergy of these two issues when they don't necessarily have anything to do with each other, because a lot of that dysfunction, by any account, seems to have been there before before Ellen Powell came in as interim CEO.
Well, the letting go of Victoria Taylor we don't know anything about that, do we? I mean, she may have, I heard something about her breaking her silence or some link here. I don't know if any of this is credible, but, and what she's been saying about it, but when she was let go, I have to think it's more complicated than, they let her go because she's good with us. I don't think it works that way. There's more to it. And I don't know what that was, but that's part of the problem here. And I agree with you. The two probably aren't tied together very well or much at all, but because one seems to have led to the other, this, to me, this is just like weird hyperbole. I don't know why she was let go. Maybe she was terrible there. I don't know. She seems very nice, but I don't know anything about her.
There's a lot of rumors that are floating around on whether they're trying to relocate headquarters effectively from New York to San Francisco. And that apparently is rumored to be an issue on, her. She didn't want to move and yada, yada, yada. And then they wanted to revamp or offer new kinds of AMAs that she wasn't comfortable doing. So who knows? I mean, that's all complete hearsay and conjecture. The only reason why the censorship, quote unquote, fight and the Reddit isn't great with moderators fight converged is because people were mad at Ellen Pao for leading the civility fight. And Ellen Pao is the CEO when another big longstanding problem came to a head. That's the only nexus point, is that she's the CEO. As both of these things happened, one she had direct control over, the other was a problem that happened before her. And you can fault her for maybe not being great at making it better, but it existed before her. And I'm going to take a wild guess and say it's going to exist after she's gone.
So who cares about all this? All we care about is, can I still get my elbow fetish videos at Reddit? Like, does this affect anything?
I have to go to vote for that, VOAT.com. That's where all the really, the people who feel like the new policies are excluding them have gone to have a what they consider a more open forum. And it's basically Reddit code just re-implemented.
What does it spell? How do you spell it again?
VOAT.
VOAT.
Like a goat, but you're voting.
But dot com?
Go.
Oh, interesting. This domain may be for sale, it says. Weird. All right.
So basically it's one of the biggest forums there is one that transplanted from Reddit, which is Fat People Hate.
Oh,
so
good.
You post pictures of fat people and you
make vote.co, by the way, VOAT.co, not COM. Sorry.
Got it. Sorry, no problem.
I think I said it wrong.
Yeah, that explains why you got it for sale. That's interesting. I didn't know that's where the gross Reddit pages were going, because that's not a very nice Reddit page.
I wouldn't characterize it that way. Some gross pages will probably go there. Other pages that just feel like, hey, you know what? We want to talk about controversial things, and that doesn't seem to be allowed. Because we want to talk about this controversial thing, or also go.
Interesting.
And some people are going there because they just don't like the idea that Reddit has changed.
Yeah, like Dig and like everything else before it.
That's what makes it more ominous, right? Is because Reddit was a site that was, not to say languishing, but certainly seemed to have kind of peaked in the shadow of Dig, and then Dig kind of self-immolated. And Reddit became really big. Yeah. So it's like there's right now you look at the narrative that has happened before and you say, wait a minute, is this bound to happen again? You know, in the same way that we've been waiting for 10 years to find out what is going to be the Facebook or the Facebook to Facebook as Facebook was to MySpace, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the next thing that swallows up the old thing.
Well, if honestly, it feels like Starbucks should be telling me all this has happened before and all of this will happen again, because it does feel like that cycle and I don't think it's over yet.
I think the reason that people are so disappointed and so upset, and there's some people that are upset because something changed and they never like that, right? But there are people like the Ask Me Anything subreddit folks who really aren't just throwing a fit because things changed. They're saying, we've really been patient. We've really been trying. We had a great admin relationship. And you let her go without saying a thing to us. And we feel this is a pattern of behavior where we, the people who just donate our time, the folks who do the IMA subreddit are lawyers, right? These are not just, you know, kids.
I am a lawyer,
right? They are full time. I'm just saying they're full time employed people who enjoy doing this. They are not irresponsible.
Allegedly.
They're not script kiddies. Yeah. And they're saying, look, you know what? We're mature people. We want to have a dialogue. And you guys just haven't reached out to us. So we're not going to quit. We're not going to get mad and take our tools and go home. but we are going to, you know, let you know what we think, and we are going to change the way we moderate this, and we're really disappointed with it. And I thought the way they handled their part of this was very well done, because it pointed what was a problem, but didn't take the opportunity to just have a mad rage fit.
How long is, one final question, how long has Vote existed? I'm just curious. Has it, did
not
it crop?
Not very long.
Okay.
Vote.co again.
Or Vote.co, sorry.
Well, it was, Woeverse or something, and then it rebranded as Vote.
So yeah. This didn't spring up in the last 3 days is what I'm getting at. Like suddenly.
No, but a lot of people have moved to it in the last few days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does Vote stand for something? V-O-A-T? Is that an anagram?
It stands for, we couldn't get V-O-T-E, but we could get this URL.
Okay.
We couldn't get .com, so we took off the M. Yeah, no, I think it's like Dig with two G's or any, you know, Flickr with an R.
It's what's hip now.
Sure.
Yeah. It left many saying F word. Vote is down because it was the surge in traffic was crippling to them.
Well, there you go. What did we learn today?
Well, you learned that you get as much out of your community as you put into it.
All right.
And some communities are good and some are bad. And when you're Reddit and you have a history of treating people really well, but you also have a really huge community, it just gets harder the longer you go.
Yeah. Well, a very wise podcaster once told me that you get the chat room you deserve. I don't remember his name, but he was a nice fellow from Illinois. And
R.I.P.
And that really stuck with me. Yeah.
It's got one little coda on this. I disagree that this is the end of Reddit for this reason. We old timers who settled this far flung Western frontier with log cabins tend to think of these things as more fluid because we have seen in the early days things rise and then fall very, very fast. Once you get the kind of critical mass in numbers that Reddit has, I think it's hard for all of that to just go away. And yeah. You even saw that with the protests that, you know, only X amount of people. And it was about as large as it could get, considering the independent minded element of a Reddit moderator community. And still, there was a bunch of Reddits, including ones that I know probably me and Joey frequent, like R Squared Circle, the professional wrestling Reddits.
Yes,
that were like, you know, hey, all power to her. She never really helped us with our AMAs, but we're going to keep it open because who cares what these jabroni marks are doing?
Consider that Dig is still in business.
Yeah.
Consider that Lycos is still a search engine before you say Reddit is done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good point. And Dig is actually, some people really quite like the current state of Dig. So, yeah, you're right.
People dig it.
Yeah. See?
Nice. Let's talk about fighting robots. Captain Kipper let us know about an upcoming battle between two giant robots, and this is not a movie out of Comic-Con. This is not fiction at all. U.S.-based Megabots, Inc. has challenged Japan's Suidabashi Heavy Industry to a robot fight. Both giant robots are equipped with weapons, but Suidabashi accepted on the condition that they eschew their weapons and fight hand-to-hand or robot hand to robot hand. Fight will now be arranged to take place sometime in a year, and they'll have to figure out logistics and how to make sure the pilots of the robots don't die.
So these aren't robots with, are these robots with dudes in them, or are they remote controlled?
Yes, they are mechs with dudes in them. They're not properly robots, I suppose.
Okay.
Ouch, really, that sounds dangerous.
Yeah, it does, right? But think
of this. I want to be in one of them dudes. Not one of them dudes, in one of them robots.
Whoa. You want to be in the
back. Sorry, you almost went somewhere.
So this is
there.
This is a good point.
That's another subreddit.
The future, yeah, that's way deep down. Here's a good question for you, Joey, as a dude who's donned the pro wrestling business. Maybe the future of our both real... I don't want to say real, but both our entertainment-based fighting in a ring or our actual boxing slash, you know, Ultimate Fighter stuff, UFC stuff, maybe one day we quit doing this to each other and instead do it to each other with a thick layer of robots with, like, lots of protective gear and stuff.
I would appreciate being a part of that business.
Yeah. What do you think, though? Do you think it's a viable
idea? I'm not
into
the no weapons thing, though. I mean, I assume the machine itself is a weapon, but... I mean, how much fun could that be? Put them in a cage and give them little robotic chairs and robot arms and everything.
But do you use weapons when you wrestle?
I have, yes.
Of course.
Okay, never mind.
can I ask a question? Yeah. This is going to be the most exciting this idea will ever be. as we all think in our heads what the most awesome robot fight will ever be. And Joey, you can speak to this. You work, the art of professional wrestling is making a fight as exciting as possible. And there is a science and art to it, the likes of which will not happen when two big lumbering copy machines tap each other two times and one falls over.
Well, hold on. Just
they've got a whole year to build it, though. So
just to be, no, they're already built. They have a year to like.
Prepare. No, I don't mean physically build them. That's what I mean. Build up the.
Build up the hype.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Megabots Mark II is 12,000 pounds and 5 meters high. Tsuribashi's Kuratas is 9,000 pounds and 4 meters high, and has Gatling guns.
Whoa.
Oh my God!
Good Lord!
There's guys in those things. That's
there's
crazy.
One guy in the Tsuribashi, and the Megabots has a two pilot affair with a gunner and a navigator.
A minigun. Holy!
None of us should be shocked. It's Japan who's doing this. First of all, that's an
excellent point.
Yeah. Second of all, you know, giant robots fighting, I think, is the future of well, I don't think for sure, but I kind of hope it's the future of warfare. I just feel like the more robots we put between each other, the more the less we're all getting hurt, and the hopefully people in the middle are getting hurt. I suppose it depends on where the war is happening, but it's one step closer to a world where we fight it out with technology in this way, and I don't think that's such a terrible thing. But yeah, this is Justin's right. It can't get. I mean, what else is it gonna? What's the next step after this?
Well, once you've seen, I'm assuming if and when this actually happens, once you've seen one fight, you've probably seen them all.
Right. That's kind of my point. Like you've.
I mean, it's going to be. I mean, when they're that big, and they're probably pretty slow, and they can't use weapons.
Well, yeah, 9,000.
Like that's what would be exciting is if one of them could get into a shield and the other one would fire a Gatling gun at it and see if it could pierce its shield.
Well,
and then see whether or not it survives.
But it could be like BattleBots, where every week, I mean, let's just pretend it's a TV show.
This is what I had in mind, right?
Yeah, every week you've got teams of technicians trying to build a better exo suit and putting your guy in it and having him go out and fight it out in the ring, kind of BattleBot style. That's a proven thing where people get into that competition. That show's even back now.
But let me ask the expert, Joey. Two gigantic robots. Let's book the match. How do you sell and what's the match here?
That's the problem. You can't unless you can get messages back and forth to the people manning these machines to like, hey, this needs to happen. This needs to happen. If there's a referee that can, I'm trying to not give away what I do, but whatever, it's already out there. But unless there's somebody in there saying, hey, this needs to happen, you got 5 minutes left, or yeah, whatever, you know, the camera's on this side, dummy, turn around. It's, how do you set up that guy? It's almost like, I mean, it would almost be, to me, as if they weren't even in the machine, they were just doing it with, you know, remote controls, or whatever, would be much easier.
Don't think about how it would be done, just think of consumer side. Assume that there's a way that you can figure out everything and you can get it exactly where you wanted. I buy a ticket to whatever junkyard they put this in, you know, and I see the best robot fight of my life. Explain to me the best elements, the high spots of that match.
Oh God, pulling the head off and throwing live cable and live wires into the crowd, picking up other. I like the junkyard idea. You've already got me sold on that. Just that word junkyard sells me. I'd have mine picking up other cars and hitting them with that.
See, that's great because you'd have loosely fitted like chess pieces and things you could tear off and huck into the audience, things like that.
Right.
Hopefully nothing nothing too sharp or whatever.
Well, there we go. So that's the thing you announced. No weapons attached to the robot, but you never said no weapons.
Right, outside.
People. Oh, here we go. You have an the old ECW chair spot, but people are throwing radiators
car hoods and stuff.
Oh, that'd be great.
I'd like to see this in a steel cage.
All right.
Well, and remember, this is the first. You know, I think you got to save some items for the second. So build it up.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. It will be as exciting as, you know, those old, you know, if you go back and watch like the black and white, you know,
or just George
Frank Gotch pro wrestling matches, you know, just two dudes rubbing their bellies on each other.
Speaking of two dudes rubbing their bellies on each other, I bet they're excited about this next story. Yeah. Megazeus Thor pointed out the man who discovered a Nintendo PlayStation in his attic Actually, yes. It was in his dad's attic. The console was one of 200 prototypes developed in a brief collaboration between Sony and Nintendo. So it's real. Dan Diebold's dad, Terry, got the machine when he was assigned to clean out the office of former Sony Interactive Entertainment president Olaf Olofsson, who had worked at Advanta Corporation, which went bankrupt in 2009. They went bankrupt. Diebold came in to clean things out, found the console, brought it home. It doesn't work because they don't have a power adapter for it, but it does have a mystery cartridge and a CD. These were all supposed to have been destroyed, Scott.
So last we talked about this, we theorized that somebody would slap together a kind of reverse engineer a power adapter to make it work and not blow it out. And I think
did
that's
you talk
still,
about it on Morning Stream?
We did. Maybe I thought it was with you on, I guess,
yeah,
it wasn't on Wednesday.
We haven't had a show in 2 weeks.
It probably was on TMS. Well, I was thinking like TMS with you, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah, they could cobble that together and see if it'll turn on. Part of me thinks it's cool that we don't know still, because this thing is like one of the last sort of bastions of video game mysteries. Like the first big one was whether or not all those ET cartridges were buried in the desert in New Mexico, and they turned out they were. So then there was this one, and now this one has been proven to have an existing prototype. They were all ordered destroyed. All 200 of them, but one remained, or at least one. There's probably more out there. We just don't know about it. But
yeah,
there it is, man. This weird collaboration that Nintendo, by all accounts, really screwed the deal on, because they stood up at CES and said, we have this arrangement, and then later, without telling Sony, and we're also doing it with Philips, and then Sony got pissed and pulled out, and then the rest is history. And in a lot of ways, that decision and that process and that collaboration, failed collaboration, defined the next 15 years of video games, console games anyway. So crazy stuff, man.
Who was this worse for in the long run that they did not?
Not Sony
or Nintendo?
Not Sony.
I'm not sure. I think it's worse for Nintendo. Yeah, I agree with Joey. It's worse for Nintendo, or at least it's, I don't know, man.
Not that Nintendo is or was doing terribly, but as far as this situation, I think Sony came out on top.
Well, at the time, Sony or Nintendo was killing it. The Super Nintendo was a bona fide hit. It was huge.
Right.
It was the big console to buy. Genesis was lagging behind, and then this next generation rolls around, and Nintendo got their crap handed to them. The N64 had its moments, but the PlayStation 1 just destroyed them, and the 2 continued the trend. And outside of the weird, fluky Wii period, the early part of the Wii's lifespan, Sony just dominated them, and then it's just been a wrestling match between, no pun intended, between them and Microsoft. So I think that Nintendo got hurt by it, but I say that with reservation because I don't think Nintendo really cares that much. They have such a weird, different way of approaching things, which is even evident in them screwing the deal over in the first place.
All right, wait, so hold on, wait. This was... At what point for both companies was it? So
1991. So the Super NES was out.
Yeah. And this was basically
no PlayStation 1 yet.
Yeah, and this was basically a Super NES with a CD drive built into it. So it took
this
cartridges.
It would have replaced the N64 and the PlayStation 1.
Yeah. The PlayStation 1 is what Sony went ahead and did after they pulled out of
this. Right, when this failed. Yeah.
This would have been
a joining of their houses.
Right.
At that point.
Well, think of it this way, because Sony wasn't in the video game business at all. So this wasn't even a joining of the houses. This was them, in Nintendo's eyes, this is them farming out who's making the optical drive.
The HP iPod.
Yeah, very good.
Gotcha, which I still don't understand.
Yeah, that's it's still a mystery.
And in fact, if you want, not to get political, but if you want a point at, the questionable... leadership tactics of Carly Fiorina. That is certainly one of them. That, like, Apple was so hot, they decided to say, "Yeah, we're making something as part of an iPod. Buy it?" Question mark.
Really weird. It showed up at Costco, but anyway.
I remember this console when it was first in the news, and I remember how crushed I was when I heard it. Nothing was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting the 64, which I still have, and hooked up and working. I love it. And I ended up getting the PS 1, 2, 3, and 4, but. I love this story just because I remember that, and I thought it was so cool that this was found.
Well, and also remember that this wasn't going to be a new console per se. This was more like a Sega CD to the Genesis, and in fact, it was kind of their answer to that. Like, how do we get optical in here? Because CD was the big rage, and it would have been an interim sort of late stage solution, not necessarily. It wouldn't have changed where things were headed, probably, but certainly what Sony had in mind for what they ended up doing. It literally changed the face of console games forever.
I still think that even though this didn't happen, I think if it had, I don't think it would have been all that groundbreaking because the CPU and the processor and the Super NES wasn't all that fast to begin with. So, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of getting on the technical end of it, but I always thought it would be a cool concept and I would have liked it. I would still like to see, or I wish I would know where the industry would have gone had that, you know, had that happened and possibly PlayStation 1 never come about.
Sure. Different landscape.
Magoo JC pointed out that the Wand Company has created a replica of Star Trek's original communicator that works as a Bluetooth handset for your phone, made of aluminum with a magnetic stand for wireless charging, works as a speaker as well. You can't make calls on it, but you can answer calls with it, and you can pre-order it from StarTrek.com for $150 for shipping in January.
I would have wanted this when I had a Nokia chocolate bar phone. Now I don't care. You know, like, we're doing things with phones that because the whole point of this would be like, isn't it cool? Basically, cell phones are kind of like communicators. Wish we had that extra functionality. And now we have way beyond that functionality, and now we just don't care anymore.
Okay, but let me posit this for you.
All right.
We are in a world now where two things are becoming more in vogue. We are thinking that hardware is an acceptable solution because it is cheaper and cheaper for more and more minuscule tasks, which is the whole point of like wearables, be it the Apple Watch or the Fitbit or the Pebble Time or anything like that. Now, small things like notifications or track how much I move is worth us getting a hardware solution for. And with stuff like Slack, you know, the idea of private communities that have a more robust way to communicate with each other is in the public consciousness. So I don't think this will be cool. But what if all of us frog pants folks all had some little fun hardware device that gave us an interesting, cool way to communicate with each other that was separate from the phone? Is that something that we might be interested in if it, you know, benefited us? Like, is there something, I guess, I don't know if this is it. In fact, no, I know this is not it. People who are Star Trek fans will buy it and that'll be it.
Yeah.
But I'm not convinced that there won't at some point be some kind of small hardware that just does private communications amongst our friends.
Like a long range broadband based walkie talkie, really, is what you're talking about.
Maybe. I mean, and maybe it's not voice, right? Because mm-hmm. voice is problematic. Like, you don't want to be sitting in a business meeting and all of a sudden have, you know, somebody start barking, you know, into the walkie-talkie.
Right.
But maybe it's text and voice, and you can always hop into a voice chat room if you want. And, you know, you can know where other people are. Like, maybe it is more of a full service kind of communicator as opposed to just a walkie-talkie.
If it was a thing that was free and somehow traveled on air, I think that you're 100% right about your prediction. But I think in light of the fact that everybody's got a piece of smart hardware in their pocket now, what you're describing is an app. And,
yes.
And it'll just be a private app. And
but think of it not like, think of it as the extension of the app, right? Or where we're going, right? Because first it was just like, oh, well, we have a phone. A phone does it. The internet does it. And then it's like, oh, no, wait. There's some things that are better if they're their own little walled off thing. Mm-hmm. And those are apps,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And what if it's cheaper and you know, it's not that expensive to buy and it either runs with communication that's already there or connects to your phone for a communication source. And there's just another, what if your app became physical? I guess that's what I'm thinking of. What if there was a physical little doodad that gave you an element of what you loved about that app experience, but something else because it was fully walled off from your phone as opposed to just walled off via software?
Like the Twitter peak.
Yeah. Was that a thing?
Yeah, 2009. It was a device that only did Twitter.
Oh, weird.
At a point where Twitter was minuscule compared to where it is now.
Yeah.
You know? And that's not to say that there'll be plenty of people that are first through the door when this will be really, really dumb. And maybe it'll be cool at some point. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess I just don't find it inconceivable. I don't think it necessarily will happen, but I could see it happening.
Tom Merritt,
it's a novelty.
Tom Merritt, the tech lord, you must weigh in on this idea.
I really want to applaud and encourage Justin's ability to turn this into a real tech segment. This is just for Star Trek fans.
Yes. Yeah. correct.
Always bringing us around. I love it.
It's such a specific novelty to like a niche group of people that it's not. I think $150 is a little bit excessive.
Sure, but you're gonna find Trek people who are just gonna eat this.
Man. It'll be on eBay for $15,000.
I'm not kidding. Justin just brought up a really interesting point and a really interesting discussion and a way of thinking, and it made me think of the Twitter peak and how it was too early, but maybe, you know, all of that. But yeah, that's not this is really just like, hey, Comic-Con, want to pre-order a communicator?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We forecasted that business. That's what we did.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, Captain Kipper notes Marvel announced Elodie Young, you might remember her as Jinx from the G.I. Joe movie, has been cast as Elektra for season 2 of Daredevil. And if you remember, Elektra is a female ninja assassin of Greek descent. Elodie herself is a French Cambodian and knows karate. All right. So I don't know.
I got this burning question. Justin, I'll ask you first.
Yeah.
Are we going to have extemporaneous character / villain bloat on season 2? The thing that happens to all superhero movies, too many villains. You start with one for your first one, goes pretty well. You might have two the next one. By the time you're around to your third, you got 3 to 4 to 5 villains playing in the same sandbox. Do you think that I'm starting to be a little worried that there's a little bit of extra character that need their own space bloat for Daredevil season 2?
I think it's less of a concern in a television show than it is a movie, because you just know that there's less real estate in a movie for it to be like, oh God, wait, really? We're going to go through Venom and New Green Goblin and Sandman and maybe a little wink to Carnage, like in the same movie. Really? We're going to do that?
Yeah.
Whereas in Daredevil, it's like, listen, they got a lot of episodes. They got, 10 episodes, 11 episodes, 12 episodes?
Something like that, yeah.
I think it's something like 12, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I don't think that it's necessarily the worst thing in the world. Also, because Elektra and Punisher specifically, which are the two that are announced, you've got plenty of room to find out how they're going to play him. You know, that they keep talking about the Punisher as being the bad guy in this season. I'll be very surprised if it ends the season with him being the bad guy. You have the Kingpin kind of in the background, sort of, you know, probably still a part of things. And then, you know, Elektra is your love interest, you know, in a dangerous, sexy way, the likes of which is her at her peak in the Daredevil mythos. So
yeah. Well, you're adding to her. You got the Punisher will be in this season. You'll have I forgot them all. But then I think about this season, and you know, you had Stick and you had other people. so I guess it's fine. Joey, thoughts? What are you thinking about season 2?
I haven't seen season 1. Oh. I'm sorry to say. I've heard all the hype, and it's on my to-do list. I just haven't gotten around to it.
I think you really like it. It was big surprise, I thought, how well that thing turned out. So,
hey, by the way,
I can say I was not a fan of the Ben Affleck movie, though.
Oh, well, good. You're in safe territory here. You'll be fine. Yes.
Can we take a look at the cast of the original G.I. Joe movie real quick?
Sure. Yeah.
Christopher Eccleston as Destro.
Yeah.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt as the Doctor / Rex.
You're talking about the live action movie, not the actual live action original G.I. Joe movie.
Where this, where this lady is coming from.
I like how Joey just big manned you on G.I. Joe movies.
And I like that he threw in the real one. Like
I still watch it at least once a month.
Jeez Louise, dude.
But wait, no, we got Levitt, Eccleston, now Elodie Young. Who else?
Dennis Quaid, Channing Tatum. That's where it kind of falls
Before Tatum got his big, his huge
I don't
break.
Think they could have budget for those people anymore.
If you were to recast the original G.I. Joe movie, you would have a hard time fitting it under the budget.
Yeah. Had Marlon Wayans, Arnold Vosloo. I know I'm dragging the barrel now, but still.
Yeah. I mean, because then you got people that are definitely just in all those movies like Ray Park and Sienna Miller. Remember when everybody was trying to make Sienna Miller happen?
Yeah, that was a deal for a while. I remember that. She's still making stuff. It's fine. She's fine.
She's fine.
Anyway, good job, Elektra. We're happy to have you there, and may you ever reign.
Bienvenue, Elodie Young.
Yeah.
And we know that most of you listening to this later or watching this later will have already heard all the Star Wars announcements from the Comic-Con panel, but we haven't yet, so we're still excited about what EFC 88 brought to us, which is that Lego Movie directors Christopher Miller and Phil Lord will direct a Star Wars anthology movie about a young Han Solo set to release May 25th, 2018. It'll be written by Lawrence and John Kasdan. Lawrence Kasdan, of course, wrote Empire Strikes Back. John Kasdan of Dawson's Creek. It will tell the story about how Han Solo became a smuggler, a thief, and a scoundrel. And I'm going to guess that it's probably Dawson's fault that everything is not awesome for Han.
I love the fact that someone named Lord is directing a Star Wars movie. I just love it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what's cool, or what's something that, well, yeah, so Ibbot has this concern. The other day he mentioned, it's worth bringing up here. He said, really hope that they don't do like the third Indiana Jones movie where when he's a kid, they make all the references that shape his adult life. Like, I'm afraid of snakes. Here's a bunch of snakes. Oop, this is how I got hit with the whip and got this scar on my chin. Like, all of these, like, origin things happen. There's some concern that a movie about a young Han Solo would be too fan service-y. Like, he'd spend a lot of time making references, like his mom would send him out.
I'm just imagining as much money as I can right now.
But I could see, like, his mom's like, all right, son, have a good day on the Millennium Falcon. I love you, and he'd turn around and go, I know.
To shoot somebody at a bar.
Young Han is played by Shia LaBeouf, right?
Yeah, hopefully not. We don't know that part, though, right? No casting.
No, we don't know any casting as far as
if you are going to put your faith from an established franchise in the hands of two guys, though, Miller and Lord are kind of the guys right now, right?
Sure.
I mean, they made not one, but two amazingly hilarious 21 Jump Street movies, which might have been impossible. And by the way, have like just set the Attack of the Clones of now every movie has to have the scene where it's like, hey, we're a ripoff and we're just trying to steal your money by taking advantage of your childhood. Wink, like scene, because 21 Jump Street did it so well.
Yeah.
They did the Lego movie, which is amazing. They've done my favorite cartoon ever, which is Clone High. I am fully in the tank for Miller and Lord. The question is, who's Han Solo?
Yep. That's the question.
Tom,
right?
Won't we know later today, possibly? Because the panel.
I don't know if people out there listening already know. Possibly.
They could know.
No idea.
They could know.
I doubt, if it's not out right now.
I think that you're right. I think they would have made the announcements all at the same time, huh?
No, or it would have been leaked.
Yeah.
I'm looking
We will get a short list of who they are considering for young Han Solo before we see who young Han Solo is. But immediately,
who would you like to see?
What was that?
Who would you like to see?
Well, two names come up immediately, which is the leading men for which they have worked with previously, Chris Pratt and Channing Tatum.
Okay.
I don't think that too Chris old. Pratt can do it.
Do we know how young they're going, by the way? I'm sorry to cut you off.
Do you know
how young they're going?
No.
You don't.
Okay.
Could be anything. Could be, my name's Han. What's your name?
Yeah, right. That's what I mean.
Yeah, it could be him
Han
meeting
and
Chewie.
His buddy Greedo.
Yeah. It could be when he's a kid. It could be some of that. And then when he's older, my guess is it's when he's a smuggler and he's learning the trade and being a
Indiana
scoundrel.
Solo.
Yeah, because that's what all the stuff we're seeing says. It's like, find out how he became such a scoundrel. And I'm hoping that isn't junior high.
You know? I'm going to take a guess that it'll be
Zac Efron.
If they want to play within the universe, maybe it's as he gets the Millennium Falcon, how he falls into trouble with Jabba, like that kind of stuff.
How about, he's probably too old now, but I wouldn't say no to Tom Hardy in there.
Well, that's just because Tom Hardy does everything.
And he makes me warm inside. I really like him. I like that guy.
That's a personal problem. You should probably see a doctor.
Yeah, there's a subreddit for that. Don't worry. It's fine.
But we agree that you can't have Pratt do Star-Lord and Han Solo, because Chris Pratt doing Han Solo would be too much like Star-Lord, right?
Kind of. Star-Lord's very much Han Solo. I'm kind of with Jerry on this.
It would make both of them lamer. It would make the Han Solo movie lamer. It would be
like having Harrison Ford be Han Solo and Indiana Jones.
No, absolutely not. Because I would say Chris Pratt can do the, because they're looking at recasting Indiana Jones. I wouldn't mind him being Indiana Jones.
Yeah, he'd fit. He'd fit in there.
They are different characters. I get that. All right.
Well, just one's in space and one's in the jungle. Like, I mean, like,
X-Men if just that, like.
Yeah, just consolidate, put them in a space jungle, done. You know you'd see a movie with a space jungle in it. I totally would. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, it's the pop quiz. Before we do, though, this episode of Current Geek is brought to you by Braintree. Code for easy online payments. Doesn't matter what you're building, mobile app, whatever. You need a simple payment solution. You don't want to go through a bunch of pain over that. The Braintree V.0 SDK makes that so much easier to accept all the payment types you need. PayPal, Apple Pay, Bitcoin, Venmo, credit cards, and more with one simple integration. Go check these guys out right now and play for free in their sandbox and get your first $50,000 in transactions fee-free by going to braintreepayments.com/currentgeek. All right, that's your news. Thanks for participating in the new segment of the show. That means we are leading straight into this big fun, which is this.
America scores and wins.
Okay, that music means only one thing, and that means this. We have a moment to spend with our guests, quiz form-like. None of that made sense. We're going to ask them questions from this quiz I have. And, music died. There it is. The quizzes are in areas of their expertise. They try to answer them the best they can. They're kind of competing against each other and sort of the long haul of the show. Tom keeps score. You guys ready?
This is going to show how much Jury knows about wrestling, how much more Jury knows about wrestling than I do.
Well, here,
I'm just going to say, the last time I was wearing this shirt, I was in Moosic, Pennsylvania, watching Joey Image wrestle his last match, and it will be my pleasure wearing this same shirt again to retire his ass from podcast.
Coincidentally, the last time I was in Moosic, Pennsylvania, I was wearing this shirt.
Oh, well, there you go.
What you just said. Good. While you were watching me while wearing that shirt.
Joey, if you get it right, you'll hear this. Whoops. Where is it? Sorry. That, if you get it wrong, you'll hear this. Here's your questions. It is wrestling trivia for Joey today. Justin's going to be surprised what his is. Here it starts with this question. Brock Lesnar likes to take people to what city?
Suplex.
You are correct. I don't know why that's not playing the way it's supposed to.
All right, Ice Worm, come on. You're just...
Yeah, I know.
It was an easy one.
I was thinking like Baltimore. I mean, come on. All right.
Here's this one. In WCW, which NWO member did Diamond Dallas Page feud with the most in 1997?
You gotta be kidding me.
This is all before his breakout yoga life.
It wasn't Buff Bagwell.
It was Buff Bagwell.
That's my answer.
Buff Bagwell, is that what you said?
Yes.
It is not. It is Macho.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, Randy Man's. Randy Man. Macho Man. Randy Savage.
Randy Man can.
That was a different character.
All right. At what pay-per-view in 1996 did Stone Cold coin his iconic Austin 316 slogan?
King of the Ring.
You are correct. Nicely done. I almost said it as if I would have known that otherwise. I have no idea. Yeah. Who did Ric Flair defeat in 1983 to win his first NWA World Heavyweight Championship?
Harley Race.
You are incorrect. The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes. Son of a baboon.
Daddy. Sold out Omni in Atlanta.
If you will.
There you go. Who are the three alter egos of Mick Foley?
Oh, stop it, Ice War.
Yeah. I don't know. My three favorite wrestlers, maybe? Or my one favorite wrestler, at least.
Okay.
Which is Cactus Jack.
Okay.
The other two being Mankind. The third being Dude Love. And for extra credit, he actually wrestled as Mick Foley as well.
Whoa, nicely done.
Half point extra credit bonus.
I was
going
to say, Tom was going to give you some points there. Nicely done. I always just knew him as Mankind, so I didn't know any of that other stuff. Here's your third to last question. Who did Shawn Michaels throw through a glass window?
A very good friend of mine, Marty Jannetty.
You are correct. Well, that seems like an easy answer then, if he's a friend of yours. Because that comes up, right, at a bar. Hey, remember that time I got thrown through the thing?
Time.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, second to last question. Lita is one of the greatest female wrestlers of all time. Who did she manage when she made her WWF/WWE debut?
And you have to get the right name.
First of all, I disagree, and it began as Poppy Chulo and morphed into S.A. Rios.
All right, you got it. And that may be extra credit, Tom, I don't know.
Yeah, that's another half point extra credit.
Nicely done.
Not morphed, they just changed his name. I don't know why it said morphed. They didn't change the gimmick or the character.
All right.
Just the name, which made no sense. Same.
He was still Poppy Chulo.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense, though.
Final question. What was Triple H's ring name when he wrestled in the WCW?
Well, this is a trick question because he had more than one.
Oh.
He came in as Terror Rising. His second name was Jean Jean-Paul Levesque, which is Paul Levesque's real name.
All right.
The Gene or J-E-N part.
You're correct on
another
the Terror.
Extra credit.
Yeah, the Terror Rising is the accurate one, or the one he wrote here, and then you've got more extra credit. Jeez, you're kind of killing it, dude. Those are your questions. Hold tight, because
I knew Dusty Rhodes, too. I knew that answer.
Justin's going to jump into an area that lately he's had a lot of experience in, and that's politics.
All the questions are about Carly Fiorina's campaign for president.
These are right along the stuff you're doing, dude. So here you go. You got this.
All right. Let's go.
All right. What presidential candidate was heavily criticized when he was photographed riding an M1 Abrams tank?
That would be Michael Dukakis.
You are correct. I knew you were going to get these. This is great. What year was Jesse Ventura elected as the governor of Minnesota?
97.
Well, crossover there. Huh?
97, you say?
Yeah.
98, so close.
God damn.
All right, 0.9. He gets 0.9.
So close. What city in Alaska was Sarah Palin elected mayor of in 1996?
Wasilla, don't you know?
She can see Russia from there. Who was Bob Dole's running mate during the 1996 elections?
Jack Kemp.
You're kind of killing it.
Roll Hemp.
I'm always impressed by this sort of thing. I don't know why, but I am. Because Justin, in so many other ways, is all the other things we love him for. But then you find it, you just lift up a little piece of skin and you see
this. Beard wearer, slobbering, barking dog.
I love it.
Easily distracted.
I freaking love
excited.
It. I really like it. All right, next up. Who was Bob Dole? I already did that. What snack item did George W. Bush choke on while in office?
That would be a pretzel.
You are correct. Almost killed him.
He was watching football on a Sunday afternoon.
That's a big shock. Really? All right.
Oh, that doesn't count.
What 2004 Democratic candidate went on a tear by standing where they were going to go to a bunch of states and ended up with a weird yell that backfired on him and probably cost him the primary?
That would be the man who was not only stopping in New Hampshire, but on to South Carolina, on to Florida, on to Washington, D.C., and then the White House.
That's him. I have it happen.
The current head of the Democratic National Committee.
Nice. You got it. Oh, you got it right.
Did you ever say his name?
Oh, yeah. Did Howard you? Dean. Oh, Howard Dean. Yeah, I did.
Placing Terry McAuliffe as the head of the Democratic National Committee.
Yes, Paula Dean.
And if y'all will excuse me.
All right. President Obama appeared
Which
on the...
She had some splaining to do this week, didn't she?
She sure did, didn't she? Oh my gosh.
Again.
Or as she wrote, esplaining. But anyway, President Obama appeared on the cover of 2009's issue of Marvel Comics. What comic was it that he appeared on? And do you know the number? He has the number here. I don't know if we have to give it to him. Tom can decide.
Oh, no, I don't know the number, but he was on the Spider-Man comic.
I'm going to give you that one unless Tom disagrees.
No, he would have gotten extra points for the number.
All right. The Amazing Spider-Man at 530 or 583 is the correct number. Yeah. Final question. Which Beach Boys song did John McCain use in a joke that got him in a bit of trouble?
That would be Barbara Ann, which he said as bomb, 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 Iran.
Good Lord. You nailed it. Wow. That's impressive to me. Keep your eye on Kickstarter.
I just got to get tuned up for Nerdtacular, you know, because, you know, this is, it's just, people have come to expect, you know, a dominating Brock Lesnar-like performance out of me at Nerdtacular.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got to get everybody ready to let let people know that I'm just going to mow down the competition.
It's going to be exciting business, that. Hopefully there's some political questions. Tom, how'd they do?
There are 8 questions that each of them answered, and very strangely, Justin Robert Young got 8.4 out of 8, correct?
Yeah.
And Joey Image got 8.5. What?
Oh, come on. That's bull. That's absolute. That's bull. That's
unassailable. This has been verified externally.
Jeez.
So, Justin.
That was awesome. All right.
I expect a handshake at Nerdtech.
Absolutely.
Nah, stop it.
All right. Nice thing you done, guys. You did good. Now we have this.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
It used to be a show. Now it's a segment. It's called Forecast. It's where we get to predict the future. And Joey put one in here. about.
Yeah, I don't know where this came from, by the way. This just popped in my head a couple weeks ago.
I like it. Well, give me what you got here. Oh. What do you got?
Well, I actually had to go and correct it because I initially put something like 3207 or something. But I will predict that by the year 2027, that law enforcement will begin sending. I'm reading this because I don't remember word for word, but right. Law enforcement will begin sending disguised android prostitutes to gentlemen callers in an attempt to catch them red-handed and have them arrested as they normally would be. But the big thing is they're using androids because once these guys find out that they're robots, they don't want to get beaten up.
Right, because the robot
could... they used, you know, actual women, you know.
The robot could hurt them. This is interesting. What did you... What was this based on? How come this popped into your head, do you think?
I was thinking about hooker...
Your subreddit was shut down for a couple days, and you were like,
"Hooker robot subreddit was down."
Well, I mean, okay,
hooker robots.
We always on Forecast. One of the things we do think about is like stuff that, you know, what would technology, what impact would it have on everyday things? And I suppose an everyday thing is busting Johns when they're picking up.
My
hookers.
Only question, Joey, is can you get this to hold up in court if it's an android, not a like is that illegal? Is it? Can you bust him for the solicitation if it's not actually a human being? Is that entrapment?
Whoa.
Well, no. There would be recording devices, obviously, in the eyeballs or whatever, cameras or whatever, but it would have to be admissible. You know, there would have to be some kind of laws based on their findings, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Are you guys ready? Because
lay it on us.
Here's where this conversation gets real.
Go ahead, loser. Buckle. You lost.
Buckle up. Enough out of you.
Right? Me buckle up. Wait a minute.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, I know. I know.
You failed to kick out.
In your old age, now that you're retired, you know, like, but you don't need your sass here in the podcasting world. Okay.
Yes. All right.
Hey, you're my tag team partner, come Nertacular. So I have to be good to you.
All right. So this is a really, really great idea. And I think where it is most applicable is on two levels. One is weirder and grosser than the other, and I'll start with the easiest one.
All right.
Number one, you would the benefit of having these robots would be if they are passing the Turing test to Johns enough that they would want to have sex with them, you would basically be going to the point like up to as close of the act as possible, so you are not relying on them just saying to the officer, as we do now, like, yes, I would like to pay for this. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you would be able to get as much evidence as possible up to the act because it's a robot and theoretically we don't have to think about their feelings. More than that, you would want to use these robots in places where we can't, in good conscience, put humans.
Right. Right, like some kind of crack house or some kind of wherever they go, wherever they take them.
No, I would say, I mean, like for youth at risk situations.
Oh, right, know, right, right. Yeah,
where
yeah.
You are catching really the most vile elements of society, where you, at in law enforcement now you have to, you know, put somebody who looks young in that situation, but you could have somebody, you could build a robot that looked.
But then the John's gonna say, but it was just a robot.
It's like, oh, no, I knew
not
that.
Guilty. I knew it was a robot the whole time. I was just playing along.
Well, you know.
It's an interesting point. Otherwise. It's an interesting point. Also.
Right now, Tom, you have proven yourself to be the Better Call Saul of robot hooker busted people.
Tom's got busted with a robot hooker. Better call me.
Yeah. Tom, add that to your NaNoWriMo list.
I think Joey nailed it earlier, actually, which is you have to write the law to say, you know, whether it's a robot or not, your intent to do this.
Right. The intent was there, and here's the film that shows.
Yeah, but okay, hold on now, though. If the robots are so realistic that the Johns are none the wiser until the gig is up, then we start treading into that weird territory of these robots are awful lifelike. When is it life and when isn't it? Yeah. So
or maybe they don't. Maybe the Johns don't know until they get to court, and they're like, you know, well, those blue eyes on that chick.
Because if the robots don't have rights, wouldn't somebody just buy a bunch of these and create a legal place for people to get like, hey, these are robots, come on in.
Well,
that's the question, right?
Robot hookers that are never tired.
Yeah.
What's more likely in 2027 for us to have Turing test passing robots that can catch Johns, or have legal robots that people can just pay to have sex with. And we have a different evolved notion of what prostitution is.
The latter. The latter is probably more likely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm, well, let's wait and see if it comes to fruition, but I'm less.
I could start a whole robo whore business. My tagline would just be robo whore. She's never, she never says no. She never has a headache. Wow. Or something like that.
You know, it's
She's
really
never against the law.
It's just a perfect deal for you there, Joey. Go for it. I guess it's all, then that opens up all those ethical questions of like, well, you know, they're robots, so now it's everyone's safe. But then I don't know. It's still weird. Like these guys, they want a young robot, and it's just still weird. You know, I don't know, man.
I will say that the idea I just mentioned is better than a prior idea I had, which was human hookers, but on rollerblades, and that was called Rollaho.
Oh, I see what you got.
At least these ones never have a headache. They never say no.
I'm not really surprised.
Future
that situation.
Well, no. That was I had that idea years ago.
Yeah. No one will be offended by any of this.
That already exists somewhere. I can almost guarantee it.
Yeah.
As long as it's not called Rollaho, I'm fine. If it is, then I want royalties.
It was your idea first, damn it.
Yes.
We got an email from a listener. We always like to have a little bit of feedback. Brandy Nikki wrote in, says, "Hey, guys, love the show. Here's my forecasting idea. In the future, we will be able to record/stream our dreams onto websites like YouTube. This will be accomplished through some sort of patch or implant applied behind the ear. And we will have connectivity to external devices like Bluetooth. On these dreams websites, you'll be able to upload your dreams and watch other people's dreams. There will be categories like apocalyptic, strange, XXX, horror, funny. And you will be able to tag your dreams with keywords like spiders so people can search for it. Research will be conducted to see if trends and dream types correlate to real world events. That's all I've got for now. Hope you enjoy it and hope it comes true," says Brandy. Wow.
Brandy. Go see Strange Days.
Yeah, that was the one.
If you haven't already.
Strange Days is pretty good. Great what was the point. Other one? Brainstorm is another very similar idea.
Also, the first thing that came to my mind when I was reading this was, this dream is unavailable due to a rights claim by Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on a minute. No, you're right. Strange Days was the trading of dreams, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like a drug and people got addicted to it.
Yeah, they had that little gimmick that popped in their head and...
And it looked like
they were live experiences, not necessarily.
Yes.
And they looked like Sony mini discs, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, they were.
That movie.
They were actually, yeah, I think.
Catherine Bigelow before she got, I don't know, got serious, Small-o. I suppose. if you would like to send in your own email, your own comments, your own thoughts, send them to currentgeek@gmail.com, or you can call us, leave us a voicemail, 801-471-0462. And that marks the end of another fine podcast. Before we go, though, we'd like to always give our guests a chance to talk about cool projects and things they have going on. Let's start with Justin. Justin, what's going on?
Yo, we got a big thing coming up. It's called The Contender. It's a card game. It'll be out on Kickstarter either the week before or the week after Nerdtacular. Either way, we're shooting that Kickstarter video tomorrow, and we are looking for more and more people to go ahead and get involved. So follow The Contender on Twitter.
Contender Game, also, right?
It's at Contender Game. Mm-hmm. Contender Game on Instagram. Contender Game on Facebook. Follow each and every one of them. And if you'd like a print and play deck, we have our 100 card beta print and play deck. The final base deck will be over 300 cards. But that's really the best thing that we've gotten is a lot of feedback saying, this is great. More cards. Don't worry. There will be more cards and they will be there for you, when we do the Kickstarter. So if you'd like to try the beta deck, hit us up on Twitter at Contender Game. Otherwise you will hear me flogging the ever-loving crap out of this over the next month and a half.
Having seen the beta deck and messed with it a bit and seeing kind of behind the scenes a little bit, I could not be more excited. And the political acumen that Justin displayed today on the show is just kind of a taste of that sort of stuff. So you guys are going to love it. It's going to be great. Can't wait. Joey, what the hell's going on with you, man? Anything you want to tell people? Somewhere to go?
a lot of people like to tell where to go. Yes, I guess my new t-shirt store, well, not that it's new anymore, but it's been open since mid-June, prowrestlingtees.com/joeyimage. And contrary to the joke email I got this afternoon. It is not spelled T-E-A-S-E and me in skimpy clothing. It is, in fact, T-E-S, like tees.
Yeah. Oh, like tees, like t-shirt. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Somebody emailed me and was like, it should be pro wrestling, like T-E-A-S-E, and you're like in a dress. I'm like, oh, it's not my gimmick there, but thank you for the suggestion.
Cool.
Yeah, that's the big thing right now, and it would really help if people went on there and bought shirts, because I just lost my day job recently, so that's my only income right now.
Well, go check it out. Joey Image on Twitter, right?
Yes, sir, at Joey Image on Twitter, facebook.com/realjoeyimage, and pretty soon there's going to be, I'm just going to buy thatimageguy.com, because I have hashtag thatimageguy on all formats of social media, so I'm tired of giving out 25 different links every time. It's just one thing. So eventually look for that. But for now, the t-shirt store and the Twitter are the biggest things for me.
Cool, man. It was great having you here. Thanks for being on.
Thank you, sirs.
Tom, you got anything before we go?
There's only one way to follow the greatest sports league in existence. That's FSLTonight.com, hosted by myself and Justin Robert Young. This week, the Cheyenne Mountain Gators have an amazing pickup. There's a barn burner going right now between the Coruscant Centers and the Los Angeles Guardians of the Galaxy. You got to tune in if you want to find out how it all turns out. FSLTonight.com.
Yep.
Hey, can I plug one more thing? I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
My YouTube. I forgot all about that. I've been doing a ton of tech videos lately. YouTube.com, I guess, /user/JoeyImage, something like that. I don't know. Just hit up my Twitter. You'll see it on there. I've been doing a lot of tech videos, a lot of unboxings, reviews, a lot of monthly subscription box unboxings. So check it out. There's a bunch of companies I've been doing product testing for the last couple of months. So all that stuff is on there. Go check it out. Thank you.
All three of us can be found at Nerdtacular this year. We'll all be there coming up in a couple of weeks. Holy crap. I can't believe how fast it's coming. I have tons to do, but I'm excited to see all my friends there. Yeah, all four of us. Or meant all three of you and me. I wasn't counting me. So if you want to get slapped in the chest by Joey, or pull on Justin's beard, or tug on Tom's...
Cape.
They'll all be there for the tugging. Thanks.
You can't ride on my cape.
No, you can't.
You can't spit into the wind.
But really glad everybody was here. Thank you so much. CurrentGeek.com is the website. CurrentGeek.reddit.com on Reddit, where all that craziness is. And we'll be back next week with a brand new show. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you next time. Yes.
Hi, this is Phil back with another Game Punting Pick of the Week from the world of crowdfunded tabletop games. This week we're backing Apotheca, the Secret Potion Society, over on Kickstarter. Now, Apotheca is a very cool blend of bluffing and matching. So each player needs to craft three potions to win the game, and to do so, you just need to match three resource cards in a row from the game board. Now, you're going to play some of these resources yourself, and your opponents are going to play some, and most are going to have their types concealed. So if you tip your hand, the other players are going to be able to deduce and steal your ingredients before you can use them, or just move them to where you can't use them while you're attempting to do the same to them. So beyond this hidden matching game, players are going to be equipped with rule-bending individual abilities, and with plenty of character cards to choose from, the game can definitely have a lot of replayability. So with lots of ways to manipulate the game state, it's never quite as easy as just matching three cards in a row might seem. So on top of what looks to be a very fun game mechanically, Apotheca is it's a real treat to look at, with great art and design on top. So Apotheca is going to be available to back through July 9th on Kickstarter. For more news and reviews of crowdfunded tabletop games, join us on the Game Punting Podcast, available in iTunes and at GamePunting.com. Happy gaming!
Hi, and welcome back to Legal Geek. This week, we update the result of when Spider-Man and patent royalties went to the Supreme Court, and also look at an interesting title conferred on one Texas judge this month. Back in December, this segment described the Supreme Court case from this term, focusing on the patent law doctrine that bars any royalty payments past the 20-year expiration of a patent, as compared to private contractual rights. Specifically, a Spider-Man web shooter toy creator was trying to enforce royalties against a third party, Marvel, when those royalties were not explicitly tied to the patent Marvel bought from him, and the contract had no set termination date. A couple weeks ago, the Supreme Court upheld the so-called Brulot Doctrine, maintaining the rigid prohibition of royalty payments beyond 20 years in the patent context. Considering this doctrine is 50 years old, and the contracted issue was related to a patent transfer, perhaps we should not be surprised. However, I had guessed incorrectly in December that this case was taken up by the court to trim away a bit of the overreaching of patent law into private contractual agreements, so the result is a bit of a surprise, at least to me. Of course, for the many comic nerds among us, the important thing is Marvel wins. Web shooter toys for everyone. Also, the majority opinion written by Justice Kagan sneaks in a few Spider-Man and superhero quotes, which just shows at least some justices have a sense of humor. This includes a statement that patents endow their holders with certain superpowers, but only for a limited time. She also notes that with 50-year-old precedents, the authority to overrule such well-established precedents is an authority that should be exercised sparingly, because, yes indeed, with great power, there must also come great responsibility. Well done, Justice Kagan. The bottom line is, it's fun to see that even the Supreme Court can take itself a bit lightly when dealing with fun topics like Spider-Man toys. Finally, a quick news item from early June was worth mentioning as well, in case you missed it. A Texas Supreme Court judge who is very active on Twitter has been deemed the official Texas Tweeter Laureate by the Texas House of Representatives. His mastery of social media is likely key to winning re-election in a state like Texas that elects their judges. And it's refreshing to see a judge not getting into trouble for tweets, as is usually the case when these two topics mix. Thanks for listening. Please provide feedback and legal-themed questions as segment suggestions to me on Twitter at BuckeyeFitzy.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.